It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, a look at witness intimidation in Milwaukee criminal cases and efforts to protect key witnesses.
First, technology has made our lives easier in lots of different ways. One of those ways is by tracking women's menstrual periods. Apps like Clue and Period Tracker allow women to put in data about their cycles and get push notifications about when they can expect their next period to start.
Our next guest says one of the unexpected consequences of these period tracker apps is that they're changing girls' culture. Because period tracking apps are so popular, menstrual cycles are losing their social stigma.
Ronnie Karen Rabin wrote about this topic for the New York Times, and she joins us now. She's a health writer for the New York Times. Ronnie, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So how do most of these period tracking apps work?
Well, you download them on your app, usually, and you're on your iPhone, and you start inputting data about the dates that you get your period. And after a few months, it can start giving you a prediction of sort based on your cycle, when you're going to get, if you want a reminder, when your period is due. It will tell you when it thinks you're ovulating and are fertile. And it will track all kinds of things, anything you really want to input, in, whether it's moods related to your period, what kind of birth control you're using, when you had sex, if you had unprotected sex, what kind of bloating or anxiety. One has literally an ABC of symptoms, acne, anxiety, bloating, constipation, diarrhea, fatigue, and goes on and on. So you can track anything you want, really. But a lot of people just want to be able to plan. It also will, you can put in, do you have heavy bleeding, do you have light bleeding, all kinds of information.
And these are things women might have tracked on a paper calendar if and when they remembered. This seems like it's going to be a lot easier to really stick with it from month to month.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's your phone, it's with you everywhere, and young women are using these phones all the time. They have them, they're used to using them. I think it's easier than a piece of paper, and it's also doing some calculations for you. And it's really keeping track over time, and it is using algorithms to give you feedback on it.
So who is using them? You said young women. So what is sort of the age bracket here?
You know, I don't know. It's a lot of women. I don't know that we have that clear data. There are over 200 of these apps, and they're being downloaded a lot. So I'm not sure I really know who's. There are different people using them. Different. Some have been actually were designed for fertility, for women who really are trying to get pregnant. And so they'll really highlight, they'll send you a message saying your flowers are blooming and highlight your fertile period. And one concern that some doctors have is whether women are going to rely on this for birth control. Now, some of the apps are trying to design a kind of family, what they call these cycles that can give you an indication of when you can avoid pregnancy. But as we know, these things aren't 100% reliable.
We're talking to Ronnie Karen Rabin from the New York Times. She's a health writer looking at new period tracking apps for women and the impact they might be having on the culture surrounding menstruation for younger women. So let's get to that part now, Ronnie. What are some of the signs that social stigma surrounding menstrual cycles might be going away related to these apps?
Well, some of it's in the apps. I think the apps give women legitimacy. This is kind of a hard data. We're turning this into words that, first of all, we're giving people language. Some women, you know, didn't grow up talking about this or feeling comfortable about it. So we have real clear words for things like spotting and heavy flow, and they have the tool to kind of track it and not feel embarrassed because it's a technology that's open, you know, that's out there, that's thinking about them. I think there are things going on in the larger culture as well, though. I mean, I think there are women writing songs about their period. Annie DeFranco has a song called Blood in the Boardroom. There's a video game called Tampon Run. This is going way beyond, and I think in Wisconsin there's been an effort to acknowledge that women need tampons and sanitary pads, and I think you're trying to put them in public buildings, and Canada lifted taxes off of these products, and I think there's a growing acknowledgement that this isn't something that people need to whisper about or be scared to talk about or ashamed or embarrassed about. This is kind of facts of life, and there's an effort here in New York City to make tampons available in some public schools. So, and also a move to try to lift taxes. So So there's kind of a whole, there are also these new eco-friendly sanitary products, which don't call themselves sanitary products. There's something called Sphinx, underwear for women with periods. And that's how they advertise, underwear for women with periods.
Interesting. So much going on. You know, it strikes me listening to you that, you know, when I was growing up, this would be something you talked about with your girlfriends, not really in the culture at large. And yet you talked to your own daughter and she sort of said, yeah, you can quote me in your article. No big deal. It's not embarrassing. That seems to signify kind of a big cultural shift.
Well, I think there is a cultural shift. I hope there is. I think we're more open about a lot of things, and we talk about TMI. I think we do. Technology has kind of given us permission to talk about things that we haven't. And girls today are very busy, and they're doing a lot of things. And a lot of girls are using this just for planning purposes. They just don't want to have to remember. They don't want to be caught by surprise. They want to make sure they're prepared. And this is helpful.
Ronnie, for men listening who maybe haven't heard those quiet conversations in the past, how huge is this change between the apps, this opening up, this decline in secrecy and stigma?
Well, I think it remains to be seen. I mean, I think we're still just, this is just starting out. I think there have been women who have called themselves menstrual activists for quite some time, trying to remove the taboo from this. I think boys and men are a big part of the picture. I mean, they still take the boys out from sex ed when they talk about the period, and they talk to them about something else. So I think we still have a lot of barriers to break down. And I think it's still something that a lot of men and boys will say, "Ick, I'm going to leave the room while you talk about this." So I think we have a ways to go.
Well, privacy is a concern with a lot of apps. What kinds of privacy concerns do period tracking app users worry about, if they do?
Well, there's actually two levels of concerns. One is that, as you know, your data is being tracked and mined and crushed and crunched, and every app has a different privacy policy. And at first I was concerned people wouldn't read them, but even if you read them, you're not necessarily going to understand them. A lot of them the language is very confusing. Suffice it to say, a lot of this data is de-identified data of yours will be used maybe for research, for really good research, but it's going to go somewhere, a lot of it. So you need to be aware of that. And the other thing I think people need to be aware of, it's on your phone. If your phone isn't locked, or if your ex-boyfriend knows your girlfriend knows your password, there's sensitive information in there. If you put in, as a lot of people are going to put in when they had sex and track, you know, if they want to make sure they're not pregnant. So there's going to be sensitive information that's de-identified, but also that could be identified.
You talked to some women who have used these apps, including, as Veronica mentioned, your daughter. Is that a worry that they have? Is this something that might stop them from entering all the information they could possibly add?
I just want them to think about it. I do think most of it is being used in a de-identified way. Might they still get marketing messages? Possibly, depending on the app. I think it is a concern. And I think it's a concern. It's not just a concern for this. It's a concern for a lot of health apps and for the information we seek on the web. We're being tracked in many ways all the time. So it's something we need to think about all the time.
Ronnie, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome.
Ronnie Kieran-Rabin is a health writer for the New York Times. She was with us to talk about how period tracking apps are changing the social stigma around menstrual cycles.